The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
So, good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see you all. At the beginning, I'm on an Apple iPad, so the only way I can see the whole assembly is by swiping my screen, so it all goes by in kind of a blur. But it was good. I tried to see each of your faces, if only in passing. So when I was talking with Shinryu Sensei this morning about this afternoon's workshop, I said that I was very aware that we had people from widely differing backgrounds and practice, from people who have been studying Dogen for many years to people who have never encountered Dogen before and looked at the study text and said, "What the?" And I always try when I give a talk to think about, well, what do I want people to take away from this? What came up for me was I would really like all of you, I'd like to share my love of Dogen and his teachings with you, and to let you know that no matter how esoteric or wild Dogen's very refined and poetic language might seem on first encounter, he's really talking about stuff that's very ordinary, very everyday, very familiar to each and every one of us. Why is that? Because he's talking about our practice. He's talking about our relationships. He's talking about loving and being loved. He's talking about our lives. But it's true, he's not always immediately accessible. And the study text that we're working with is certainly not one of his easier expressions of the Dharma. So I thought I would like to start out with just sort of a simple way of looking at what Dogen Zenji is talking about in his text, a painting of a rice cake. And it's very ready to hand in our Zoom world. So in our last, by the way, you might be hearing some construction noises from my buildings. I apologize in advance for that. Anyway, we began with a 30-minute sit with 30 minutes of Zazen. And I always find it helpful in encountering Dogen to sort of refer what he's talking about back to my Zazen practice. And, when I first started practicing Zazen, I knew a whole lot more than I do now. I knew that, there was something I wanted to get from Zen practice. I wanted it to be enlightenment. And I knew that the means of doing that was to do Zazen. So if I did a heck of a lot of Zazen, sooner or later the bell would ring and I'd get enlightenment. And then at the time, my theory was, and then I'll get the hell out. But that wasn't the way things worked out, for a very simple reason. If you've been doing Zazen even for a few months, you very quickly learn that this question of the I who's supposed to get enlightened is extremely problematic. I mean, when I started, I had no doubt that this I was a little voice that was talking inside my skull. Doing my Zazen for even a short time, I noticed something really interesting. Hey, I'm not in control of that little voice. I can let a thought go, but the next second another thought pops up. The thoughts just keep gushing up like a fountain. So who is this I who is thinking? If it's who I think it is, why can't I just say, all right, shut up, and have everything be silent and peaceful? No, I can't control my thoughts any more than I can control the buzzsaw that I'm hearing through the wall at the moment, any more than I can control the sound of a bird flying by the window, any more than I can control the sun rising and setting. So this illusion that there's some I who's in control of everything and can get enlightened, that becomes very questionable very early on. So very early on, it becomes obvious that I don't really know whether I'm doing Zazen or whether Zazen is doing me. I certainly don't seem to be the one in the pilot seat. And when I sit with a group of people, everyone is experiencing the actualization of the truth in their Zazen. And in our Zoom world, it's particularly obvious that even though we are Buddhas experiencing the actualization of the truth, the thoughts gushing up, whatever we're hearing, if there's a nice breeze on our face, we feel that. All of us are actualizing the truth in our Zazen together, and yet each of us, none of us is having the same experience. None of us is having the same thoughts. In terms of the metaphor of Dogen's essay, all of us are being painted differently by our Zazen, and we're painting Zazen differently. And yet, in each moment, this painting and being painted is going on at the same time. So, are we the same or are we different? Are we one or are we many? We're actualizing all at the same time, actualizing the truth all at the same time, actualizing our lives all at the same time. And yet, each of us actualizes it our own way, under the causes and conditions of our own life, influenced by the joys and the heartbreaks that we've had individually in our own lives, and dealing with it, according to how long we've been practicing. But just because people have been practicing the same amount of time doesn't mean they practice in the same way. So this is very simply what Dogen is talking about all through this rather difficult essay. And the rice cake metaphor is a metaphor for that. Some of you who have been studying the essay will have noticed that rice cakes aren't the first thing that Dogen talks about. He talks about what I've just been pointing to right now. He says, all Buddhas are realization, and therefore all things are realization. and yet no Buddhas and things are the same, are alike. None have the same mind. And yet, although there are no identical minds and things, when you actualize the reality of your life in this moment, numerous actualizations take place. And these actualizations do not hinder one another. So we're like this symphony, each of us playing our own peculiar instrument, and yet somehow the sum is greater than each of the parts. It's occurring all at once. It's arising in this moment all at once. He says, when you manifest, numerous manifestations are coming forth without touching each other. And then shortly thereafter, he cautions us not making sameness and difference, not making oneness and manyness the criteria of our practice, but simply to practice, knowing that we share the life of all beings. We share the life of mountains, rivers, and the great earth. And yet we actualize that life. We actualize our life force in ways that are peculiar to our karma, who and what we are, our hopes, fears, and dreams, our ambitions, our failures. So that's how Dogen starts out his essay, no mention of rice cakes, but pointing to this fact that the truth is always being actualized right here and right now. And we are all actualizing the truth right here and right now. And yet our actualizations don't interfere with each other, but they are not the same. So to make this point, to bring it home, Dogen comes to this metaphor of the rice cake. And he starts with a well-known saying in Zen, a painting of a rice cake does not satisfy hunger. This saying that Dogen picks up on and sort of turns inside out is, you know, well known in Zen circles. It's also usually taken to mean, you know, just reading about the Dharma, just reading sutras, all of that. That, you know, that's not the real deal. That's just a painting of a rice cake. It isn't until you directly experience the Dharma for yourself that you get the real rice cake, the real nourishment. That's not the way Dogen sees things. He makes a very interesting move, though. He doesn't say, oh, no, you don't understand. It's very important to read the sutras. I hope he believes that. It's very important to study the expedient teachings, although he clearly believes that. What he does say is all rice cakes are painted rice cakes. All experience is painted experience. All enlightenment is painted enlightenment. All delusion is painted delusion. There is no way to separate enlightenment from the painting of enlightenment. No way to separate enlightenment from practice. That saying, the painting of a rice cake does not satisfy hunger, comes from a story about the great Zen master Kyogen, Xiangyan. I guess he lived in the 9th century in China, Tang Dynasty China. And he's a very familiar figure in Zen history. And that's the figure, he's an archetype, and it's the archetype of the whiz kid, the super great student, the one who's super smart, really intelligent, has a nearly photographic memory, knows all the sutras backwards and forwards. Some of you will recall that Ananda, the third ancestor in India, also was one of these whiz kids. And traditionally, they're portrayed as having a very hard time in their practice. And one day, Kyogen's teacher said to him, "Look, you know, you're a bright kid. You keep coming in here, you quote the sutras, you understand them really well, but I need to see something of your own. I need you to show me your original face before your parents were born." And Kyogen sat with that question for weeks and weeks and months and months, and he looked through all his volumes of books, and he couldn't find a way to answer his teacher's question. So he finally went to Isan, his teacher, and said, "I'm stumped. Could you please explain this to me, teacher?" And then Isan said something very powerful. He said, "Yes, I could explain it to you, but that would only be my understanding, my experience, my Dharma. It would not be something of your own. And how could that possibly help you?" And so Kyogen became very discouraged. And that's when he said the famous saying, "The painting of a rice cake does not satisfy hunger." Meaning, all my book learning isn't doing me any good. And so he burned all his manuscripts and left the monastery and became a gravekeeper. He tended the grave of one of the former masters, the national master of China, about 100 years before Kyogen came along. And then one day, as he was sweeping the grave, a pebble flew from his room and knocked into a pole of bamboo. Clack! And Kyogen finally realized it. What did he realize? He simply had the experience of being actualized by the bamboo and actualizing the bamboo, realizing himself as the life of bamboo, and realizing the life of bamboo as his own life. And he said, he burned incense, bowed in the direction of his teacher, Isan, and says, "How compassionate you were not to explain anything to me." So what does this have to do with what Dogen Zenji is talking about? Why is it so important for each person to have their own awakening? It doesn't have to be an explosive experience. It simply has to be the experience of realizing one's own life, whether it feels like it or not, is the life of a Buddha. The unfolding of one's own life is the unfolding of the Dharma. And as your life unfolds, you unfold it. You are acted upon and you act. You are turned by the great Dharma wheel and you turn it. Or in Dogen's metaphor, you are painted by the Dharma world and you paint it. You are painted by the truth and you paint the truth. And none of us paints in the same way as anyone else. And I certainly hope you don't paint the way I do. We paint differently from each other. We have different capabilities, different ways of looking at things. And yet, as we're painting, we actualize the truth together. This is the very essence of Sangha, that although we are completely different, in this moment, painting in our own way, we actualize the truth together. So that's a very nice thing to think about or to believe. And one could easily get the idea that, well, yeah, I'm always painting my life. So, I'm always painting enlightenment no matter what. So what's the big deal? Well, just painting any old way is not going to make a nourishing rice cake. Nourishing rice cakes that can sustain us and sustain others and sustain this broken world that we inhabit. Dogen Zenji says, rice cakes need to be painted with rice flour. Mountains are painted with rocks and crags and blues and reds. Rice cakes are painted with rice flour. Human beings, what do they paint with? Well, in traditional Buddhism, human beings paint with their six senses. Eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, as we say in the Heart Sutra. We paint with the paramitas. We paint with the Eightfold Path. Right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right meditation, right samadhi. All these are ways of painting our practice and being painted by our practice. It's just like when we do Zazen. We are painted by our experience, and we paint our experience. When we sit, we paint sitting. When the bell rings, we get up and we paint getting up. And that none of us gets up in the same way as any other person. Some of us sit in chairs, some on cushions, some on seiza benches. All actualizing the way in that moment as the people they are. Now, I suppose you could try to paint a rice cake, using mud as an ingredient. Yeah, mud's cool. I'm going to make a rice cake out of mud. Well, then you end up with a mud rice cake. If that's what you want to eat, more power to you. There are a lot of people out there actualizing their lives through making mud rice cakes, and much worse than mud rice cakes, and causing all sorts of suffering. So making a nourishing rice cake, painting is a matter of, you know, practice. In Buddhist practice, we make certain kinds of rice cakes according to the teachings. Those painted rice cakes of the teachings are actualized in our lives, actualized in our practice, actualized in the way we treat other people and receive their treatment of us, actualized in our way we are willing to learn, and by the way we are willing to share our learning with others. It's not a matter of, you know, anything I do is a rice cake, anything I do is painting. It's all a matter of context. If you're in the Buddhist world, then you have a certain intention in your practice. And yes, a lot of times we paint rice cakes that are not very flavorful or nourishing. We acknowledge that. We repent at the ceremony of Fusatsu, and we recommit ourselves to living our life with all beings and painting the most nourishing rice cakes that we possibly can. Now, Dogen says something that is kind of troubling, especially if we have the model of, you know, we're going to practice and, you know, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be peaceful. We're going to be a kind, wonderful person. Other people will realize how kind and compassionate and wonderful we are, and they'll think we're great. And we'll get to that place where everything is just, you know, everything is beautiful in its own way, as the song, old song goes. But Dogen says, a painted rice cake never satisfies hunger. Never satisfies hunger. That can be a very bleak statement unless you unpack it. It seems to say there's no hope. No hope. Painted rice cake does not satisfy hunger. Why bother painting at all? It's because we don't value hunger nearly enough. We came to practice because we were already painting our lives with hunger, a hunger for spiritual understanding, a hunger for a better understanding of this crazy thing we call life, a hunger for better relations with people, a hunger to be more loving and to be more loved in return. No hunger, no one's going to come into practice unless they have that hunger. And that hunger is not satisfied with any painted rice cake that you can imagine. One reason for this, and this is, has to do with Dogen's perspective on time, is that at the time hunger is satisfied with a painted rice cake, there is no hunger. Hunger is simply the history of the rice cake. But the future of the rice cake is continued hunger. The rice cake we paint just now is just the rice cake of this moment. Oh, wait, there's another rice cake to start painting. There's a dinner to be made. There's a dish to be washed. There's a pet to be fed. There's a child to be taken care of. So Dogen has a wonderful image for this. He says that hunger is a staff maneuvered vertically and horizontally. And if you think of a monk's staff, they're usually like, you know, big hefty sticks, maybe 5 or 6 feet tall. And the monk takes them always on his or her pilgrimage. over the mountains, across the rivers, over bridges. The hunger is always accompanying us. The hunger is simply the emptiness of our lives, the fact that nothing endures beyond even a nanosecond. So when this moment is actualized, made real, made true, made authentic, it's already passed, and there's the next moment to actualize, and the next, and the next, and the next. And so, far from being a practice whereby we attain some steady state called enlightenment, where everything is just wonderful, we find that the perfect expression of all enlightenment is maneuvering our staff hunger over hill and down dale, through all the ups and downs of our lives, through frustration, through pandemics, through the loss of those we love, and of course, the joys, the birth of children, the flowers opening. All of these are the painting of our lives. They paint us as the rice cakes we are, and we paint them. Our lives, now the technical term is interbeing. We are actualized by them, and we actualize them. So not only is this hunger never satisfied, it would be a real tragedy that we're ever satisfied. There'd be no more learning, no more growth, no more creation, no more effort to make the world a little more peaceful, less hopeless place. You know, we have the ox herding pictures. Some of you are familiar with them. There are 10 pictures. The ox is supposedly, you know, represents enlightenment, Buddha nature. And they depict our relationship with the ox, with enlightenment, with Buddha nature, 10 different stages. But for my money, and I think maybe for Dogen's too, the most important is the very first picture called Looking for the Ox, where the little man, he wants to find the ox, he has no idea where to find him. He looks here, he looks there. He's totally open, totally open, totally ready to learn and grow. And God help us if, as we find ourselves in any of the succeeding stages, if we lose that first stage, our practice is going to stagnate. We are going to stagnate as human beings. So we never want to lose our good companion, our hunger, our staff, our support through all the vicissitudes of life. So finally, how do we paint a nourishing rice cake? We use our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. We use the precepts, we use the teachings, we use our own impulses to kindliness, generosity, gentleness. Dogen, in another essay on prajna, on wisdom, defines prajna simply as that. There's eye, ears, nose, tongue, and mind prajna. There's four elements prajna: earth, air, fire water, which in ancient times they believe that's what composed us. In other words, our bodies, the elements of our bodies, are this prajna we think we're seeking. That's right here. It's in our bones. It's in our heartbeat. It's in all the crazy thoughts that come up while we're doing zazen. We don't need to look far for how to paint a nourishing rice cake. We simply need to use the tools of our practice and our own best instincts. And when we do, more and more, we can paint a life of compassion and wisdom. And not paint it only as here I am, I'm painting a life of compassion and wisdom, but we can feel the compassion and wisdom of other people coming back at us. The compassion and wisdom of the Hudson River, or whatever river happens to be near you as you're watching this. The compassion and wisdom of the sky, of birds, of cats and dogs and children. All of us are actualizing the truth together. All of us are Buddhas together. All of us are painted and painting rice cakes, actualizing the wholeness of body and mind. And yet, none of us is the same. None of us has the same mind. And yet our lives are completely interpenetrated, each with the other. Even in the time of Zoom and COVID, that teaching and practice are palpable.